God was dealing with his prophet's unbelief once and for all right here. And this is amazing passage. It was time for Moses not to be unbelieving, but believing in God's power to save he and his children, his firstborn son.
We oftentimes find ourselves with a doubting heart, don't we? It's at times like these that we are reminded here in Exodus chapter 4 that God wants our hearts circumcised, just as he wanted Moses' circumcised, for the purpose of boldness, as we're going to see later this week. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon takes us back to Exodus chapter 4, verses 18 through 31. Moses, you need a circumcised heart. Here's Pastor Chris in today's program.
It is such a marvelous work when God takes a heart and he gives life to it. Human heart. Does he see his own? Do you see your own? Evidence of no life in the heart is everything that we have seen so far from Moses. No corresponding desire to be a servant, no corresponding desire to listen. And what is true faith? Well, when God says in verse 18, they will listen, and Moses says they will not, true faith is not only a certain knowledge that everything God has revealed in his word is true, it's a deep-rooted assurance created in your hearts by the Holy Spirit out of the gospel. This is a knowledge and assurance that God's word is true, and I believe it. That's the first problem. And that leads us to the second problem that Moses was not understanding. Here are God's people in bondage over here. Moses is the servant God has trained and raised up to go get them. God loves these people. God's going to get these people. They can do absolutely nothing to get out of their predicament. They're helpless. How can it happen? Well, the Lord has to come and bring them out. Does Moses understand any of this? Well, that now leads us to verse 22. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn. You go to Pharaoh and you say to him, Moses, let my son go that he may serve me. If you refuse, Pharaoh, I'm going to kill your firstborn son. I love my son. I love Israel. Let him go. Here's the penalty if you do not. Now, he just said he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart, so you know that penalty is going to happen. On the night of the death of the firstborn son, what happened to Israel? On the night when the angel, destroyer angel, came through Egypt, and remember, blood was put up on the doorposts, what happened to Pharaoh's firstborn son? He was killed. And it was immediately then the Lord came down and says, time to go, time to get out. What would Moses later teach about the firstborn son? I want everyone to turn ahead just a few chapters to Exodus chapter 13. It's so important that you see this because it really does define and help us understand what Moses is being trained with right now. If you look at verse 2 of Exodus chapter 13, this is what we come up with. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whoever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine. So whatever firstborn came out, the Lord wanted that specifically consecrated to him. And then look down at verse 12. You shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Did you catch that? You shall buy them back. God established a principle of the firstborn. God established this principle of the firstborn, that every son that came out of the womb of the firstborn was specifically consecrated to the Lord and could be bought back to symbolize they belong to Yahweh. Usually 5 shekels. What did it mean? and meant this. Verse 14, it says, "And when in time to come your son asks you," what does this mean? Your son comes up to you and says, "Mom and Dad, I don't get what you're doing here. You know, you're taking all these firstborns and your animals you're sacrificing, but why did you take me, your firstborn, and pay a price?" They would answer, "Son, God delivered us from bondage. And he killed all the firstborn of Egypt. But he saved us. He had mercy on us. He bought us back. And by his might, he delivered us as his sons, buying us back, which is what the blood of the Passover lamb spoke to." God substituted a lamb. Who is that lamb? You know that lamb. It was the substitution of God's son, God's true and eternal, eternal firstborn son. Jesus is the true Israel. Jesus is God's firstborn eternal son, if you will. The promise and what is said here is fulfilled in him. All over the Gospels, the Father kept telling us when Jesus was there walking on this earth, "Ah, there's my son in whom I'm well pleased." The one who knew no sin. What did he do? Became sin for us, that we should become the righteousness of God in him. What is God doing? God tells Moses, "All of Israel's my firstborn son. All of them. You go say to Pharaoh, I am hardening his heart, but you tell him he's holding my son and Israel's my firstborn son." And God was making it very clear. The cost for the Lord to say to Israel that they are his firstborn, there was a redemption price that was needed, all reflected in their need to be freed from bondage. That they would have the right to become sons of God is because he would deliver his son. He would shed his blood in their place and release them that very night on the Passover as judgment fell on Pharaoh's son. They were taught the gospel right there. They were taught it right there. Now, I want you to put this together with me for a minute. Moses has just learned about the human heart. It needs to be circumcised. He has just heard about the judgment that will fall on Pharaoh's firstborn son. Here's the problem this morning. Moses has evidenced no faith. Where have you seen it? I haven't found it. That's the problem. As a pastor, you wrestle. I just don't see any faith at all in this. When somebody is born again by the Spirit, what's the great thing that happens? The great thing that happens is all of a sudden in conversion, there is a understanding that you are a great sinner with a hard heart and that you're so humbled and thankful that God rescued you and gave you a Savior and pulled you out. That gospel plan, that announcement overtakes the human heart, and it's the thing that drives the rest of your life. I mean it. It is the gospel that drives the rest of your life. When it's not there, there's no excitement for it. It just doesn't seem to set in. If you're here today, and you can say you've been born again, it'll be evidenced in an understanding of how greatness your sin and misery are and how wonderful the Lord has been to redeem you as a son. There's a confession. I'm a mess. I'm a prodigal. I'm no better than anyone else. It's not my law keeping that'll ever satisfy the demands. I'm a wreck. And I see so sensitively now what this heart is like. I barely give him any devotion. I barely give him any devotion. Moses, understand? In what follows, you have one of the most confusing passages in the Old Testament. Writers can't seem to figure out what's going on. I read a lot of them this week. But I believe if you follow the flow of what I just outlined, if you stayed with me and you followed the flow of a hard heart that needs circumcised, and if you followed the flow of here understanding the gospel of redemption of the firstborn, you see, you'll get what follows. Verse 24. And it came to pass on the way at the encampment. And as you read that there in verse 24, at the lodging place on the way, the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses' feet with it and said, "Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me. You almost got us put out." So he let him alone. The Lord relented, if you will. A bridegroom of blood because of, ready? The circumcision. What an amazing passage. They're all camping there. And I don't know what this must have been like, but the Lord showed up in a terrifying theophanic revelation of himself that was death to Moses and his sons and his wife. And it says the Lord sought to kill him. And you all stand back and you say, what in the world? This is what makes some people read the Old Testament. See, God, the Old Testament's mean. The God, the New Testament's nice. No, no, no. Hold up. What does this mean? Kill who? Who does the Lord want to kill? You can answer that by seeing where his wrath was appeased. Zipporah, daughter of Jethro, takes a knife. Understood something. Observing what has just happened to Moses, which I believe he had just been physically restrained in some kind of way, she grabs the knife, and God is about ready to kill Moses' firstborn, probably Gershom. And she grabs the knife, and she circumcises him right away and throws it at his feet. Remember, feet, burning bush. What was circumcision? Circumcision was the sign of the covenant of grace that God made with Abraham. Remember? It was the sign. Paul would later explain it and say, it's a sign and a seal of the righteousness that comes by faith. Faith. You put your sign on your children, Moses. Listen, this is so important. Abraham, all of your offspring needs to put the sign on the children. You need to put it on your children. I want the sign on your children. When the new covenant came, God didn't say, I'm going to exclude those little kids because they're just so bad. They are bad. God said, it's still for you and your children. Peter said that in the gospel in Acts, still for you and your children. You still put the sign on the children. You don't need blood anymore, but you do need water. You put it on. God commanded it. No one was to trifle. No one was to say, you know, I don't know. What did you just learn about Moses? He had just refused to put his sign on his child. I don't know why. Maybe they cut a deal with Jethro. I don't know. God now marks out his firstborn. You see the illustration here? You making connecting the dots here? It was a test. This is Moses' Abraham and Isaac moment up on the mountain. God says, take your firstborn, your only son whom you love, and you sacrifice him. Abraham takes him up and he lays him on the altar, that circumcised son, and he raises up the flint knife, and the Lord says, stop! There's a ram. Take your son off the altar and put the ram there and put the fire on it. And what does the scripture commend about Father Abraham in the New Testament? What does the Lord commend about Father Abraham about that moment being the great test of his life? It says, by faith he offered his son. He believed that he would rise from the dead because he believed the gospel promise. Now, was Moses believing? The refusal to circumcise his son was willful unbelief. God was dealing with his prophet's unbelief once and for all right here. And this is an amazing passage. It was time for Moses not to be unbelieving, but believing in God's power to save he and his children, his firstborn son. And you see, this is why you get all over the Gospels. You could go to Psalm 95, where it rehearses all the wonderful beauties, and it says, take heed, don't have a heart of unbelief in the wilderness. Or take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. As the knife cut away the foreskin, what was the Lord teaching that those people and their children for generation after generation after generation? Moses learned it right then and there. What did he teach him? You have to believe that it's the Lord that has the power to circumcise the foreskins of your heart to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can't do it. And if you're ever going to share in this buyback program of his son, you have to believe this. You have to trust the Lord. You have to understand this. If you don't believe, how are you any different than Pharaoh and his children? Because God's going to take out his firstborn son, who had no sign on him, by the way. Who had no sign on him. You don't want to get this wrong. I agree that it's not the act of baptism or the act of circumcision that saves, but it teaches us very clearly it's the Lord who saves. Someone asked me the other day, we've seen all this unbelief from Moses. When do you think he was born again? I can't imagine this wouldn't have caused it. You know? Right then and there, he had an illustration of the gospel and the terror of the Lord apart from a covering. Aaron meets Moses. They come to the mountain. They go to Israel. The scene ends really remarkably. They go to Israel. Everything that Moses had not believed happened. He did the signs, and the text ends with, they all believed and worshiped. I close with this today. You must believe. And we have to have some kind of grasp of the human heart. People are bitter by nature to any authority structure of God in their lives. And you see what the Lord must do here. His gospel has to get into the heart. He gave his son so that you would be set free to worship him and enjoy him. And when God hands you a baby, which every child is a gift from the Lord, when God hands you a baby, you understand why he's telling you to put the sign on your helpless child? Do you have some kind of grasp of why he's telling you to put the sign on your helpless child? Your child can't make the choice. He doesn't have the heart to do it. He's absolutely helpless, no matter what age he is. There's an age, people teach an age of accountability. I'm going to tell you that age of accountability ushers in more unbelief is what it ushers in. Your children are helpless because, same thing, you're helpless. If your heart can be this hard as an adult, your infant reflects the problem of your own inability. And the Lord wants you to believe and to trust his power to save you and your children. Isn't he wonderful? He wants you to believe and trust that he has the ability and power to save us and bring us out of Egypt. It's a visual for you when the sign is put on. It's a visual for you when the sacrament's given of the Lord's Supper, of the gospel. To deny it is gross sin. Your children need this deliverance too. I need this deliverance because your pastor's heart is remarkably hard. And if we're ever going to be effective in his service and do it with any kind of cheerful heart, if we're ever going to be effective in the work of Christ, we have to believe him. We have to trust what he did for us. Unbelief produces excuses. You want to know what it sounds like? Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered, you wicked and slothful servant. Faith produces something different. Here's what faith brings about consequently. And he who had received 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more. Notice the excitement here. Master, you gave me 5 talents. I've delivered you 5 more. I've made 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. What does this all say today? Don't be unbelieving, but believing. Come with a believing heart. God has loved you. He's come to get you. And he's come to rescue not just you, but your children. Do you believe that? He's given you a place in his kingdom. He surrounds you with gospel peace. And he gave up his only begotten son on the cross and shed his blood so that you would be free to do what? What is the purpose of Exodus? That they would come out and worship. Well, that's how this text ends. They come out, and notice what happens. They're already anticipating the worship that is going to happen when they come out into the wilderness. I pray that overwhelms you today to be about his will and to go in his service in true and lasting peace as his special people, you and your children, who has brought you out of darkness into this marvelous light and given you life in your hearts. What a reason to praise this God, isn't it? You're alive today. You're living. And his grace hovers all around you and enters in your hearts and saves you.
What a marvelous message coming out of Exodus chapter 4 and our message called Moses, You Need a Circumcised Heart. And you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We'll be back in just a moment to close out our time together today with a word of prayer. But first, let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start, agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program, they're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you stop by agradio.org to find the link for all of these formats. Abounding Grace Radio, by the way, exists on this radio station because you believe in it and you find value in it and you direct some of your financial resources our way along with your prayers. We would ask you to continue to do that. No gift is too small. No gift is too big. Contact us today. Let us know how you're partnering with us financially and prayerfully. Here's Pastor Chris now to close out our time today with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, may we never be so unbelieving, but believing. Trusting your word, trusting your gospel promise. Realizing that if circumcision was a sign and a seal of the righteousness that comes by faith, well then baptism is that same wonderful sign of your powerful working in our hearts to wash our hearts from all the filth that is in them with pure water, the washing of water by the blood of Christ. And we need that. Without you, we can't do it. Thank you for training your servant so many years ago to deliver. Thank you for sending your son to give us life. Give us excitement about your gospel and your promises. And thank you for not letting our little ones just fend for themselves, but thank you for teaching us that our infants reflect the problem of our own inability and that we need you to save all of us. And to that, we gladly submit to your gospel ordinances and promises. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
And amen. Well, tomorrow, as we continue our survey of Exodus, we look to Exodus chapter 5. Ever find yourself wondering what in the world is going on? You know God has led you in a certain direction, but you feel like you're in the opposite direction. Moses was there, and we'll take a look at the response and God's response and the grace given to Moses and you and I in the midst of the same frustrations. That's tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us then. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 8:30 for the morning service, 5 p.m. for the evening service, and both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.